ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 28 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। शोक हर्ष भय क्रोध लोभ मोह स्पृहादय अहंकारस्य दृश्यन्ते जन्म मृत्युश्च नात्मना शोक हर्ष भय क्रोध लोभ मोह स्पृहादय अहंकारस्य दृश्यन्ते जन्म मृत्युश्च नात्मना शोक हर्ष भय क्रोध लोभ मोह स्पृहादय अहंकारस्य दृश्यन्ते जन्म मृत्युश्च नात्मना शोक हर्ष भय क्रोध लोभ मोह स्पृहादय अहंकारस्य दृश्यन्ते जन्म मृत्युश्च नात्मना शोक लैमेंटेशन हर्ष इलेशन भय Fear, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, confusion, spriha, hankering, adaya, and so on, ahankarasya, of false ego, drishyante, they appear, janma, birth, mrityuho, death, cha, end, na, not, atmana, of the soul. Translation. Lamentation. Elation. Fear. Anger. Greed. Confusion. And hankering. As well as birth and death. Are experiences of the false ego. And not of the spirit soul. Please repeat. Lamentation. Elation. Fear. Anger. Greed. Confusion. And hankering. As well as birth and death. Are experiences of the false ego. And not of the spirit soul. So who is speaking this verse? Sri Bhagavan Vach. Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. He is describing Jnana Yoga in this chapter. About the dualities of life. And how to come out of these dualities. That is Jnana Yoga. So Lord Krishna is summarizing again in this chapter, very important chapter. These are some of the dualities or dvandva, shoka and harsha. It's two duality. Either there is lamentation or there is elation. So anyway, we'll discuss it. Purport. False ego is the pure soul's illusory identification with the subtle material mind and the gross material body. As a result of this illusory identification, the conditioned soul feels lamentation for things lost, jubilation over things gained, fear of things inauspicious, anger at the frustration of his desires, and greed for sense gratification. So, bewildered by such false attractions and aversions, the conditioned soul must accept further material bodies, which means he must undergo repeated birth and death. One who is self-realized knows that all such mundane emotions have nothing to do with a pure soul, whose natural propensity is to engage in the loving service of the Lord. So, what do we learn in this verse today? That is the topic of discussion. There is shoka and harsha, elation and lamentation, etc. There are a lot of emotions going on in the inside the person. So Lord Krishna is describing here. We'll discuss that. Om Ajnana Timir Andasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swa padantikam. Shoka harsha bhaya krodha Lobha moha sprihadaya Ahankarasya drishyante janma mrityushya natmana. So in this 11th canto, chapter 28, text number 15, Lord Krishna is describing the dualities. Everybody in the material world is either lamenting or hankering. I want this. I could not get that one. So I'm very happy and I'm angry because I could not fulfill my desire. Kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samud bhava. So all of these emotions and feelings are coming because of rajo guna, more of passion. Vidyana iha vairinam. This is the greatest enemy of mankind. Mahashano mahapapma vidyana iha vairinam. Kama esha krodha esha. Kama means lust and krodha, anger. Lord Krishna says, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, You must kill this enemy called lust. Because if you don't kill this enemy, then it will kill you by producing a lot of anger. And anger kills the person slowly, gradually. Every time he becomes angry, part of him is getting damaged, getting killed. And finally, some people become so much angry, they destroy themselves, so they try to destroy other people. So Lord Krishna is warning against these. Where these enemies live, they don't live outside. There is no enemy outside. They live right inside the heart. Because the living entity, the spirit soul, has forgotten himself. And his thinking, which is not, that is called under false ego, ahankara. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. He is thinking that he is the enjoyer and he wants to be the supreme enjoyer. Everything must be for my pleasure. Everything should be under my control because I am the enjoyer. So this is called the false ego platform. This is the root cause of all the problems in life. When the living entity forgets himself, that he is the part and parcel of Lord Krishna. Mamaivamsho jivaloke. And in this forgetfulness, under the influence of taking up the false identity, false ego, he is taking one body after another according to his mental situation, according to his desires and activities that he performs. So this cycle keeps on repeating on its own. And Lord Krishna is describing here that in this cycle, the person is always disturbed because of fear. He has fear from unknown, from so many different circumstances or so many different people, etc. The person is running fearful. At the same time, he has greed and lust. He wants to accumulate and he wants to enjoy. It is a very strange kind of situation if you analyze it, that how the spirit soul who Krishna says in chapter 2nd of Bhagavad Gita, na jayate mriyate va kadachin, nayam bhutva bhavita va nabuyo, ajo nityam sahasvatoyam purano, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. That this spirit soul, because he is my part and parcel, he is also Satchidananda Vigraha like me. He is made of eternality, bliss and knowledge, but because he has forgotten, he is suffering. Otherwise, na jayate, he has no birth, na mriyate, he has no death. Kadachin, never. He never takes birth, never he dies. Nayam bhutva bhavita, he is eternal, so there is no question of coming into being and then again getting destroyed. Because he is aja, he is unborn, nitya, he is eternal. Shashvata also means eternal. Shashvatoyam purano. And he is the oldest. Shashvatoyam purano na hanyate hanyamanesh. And when the body is slain, when the body is destroyed, the soul is not destroyed. The soul remains as he is. So, so many different words Lord Krishna describes the glories of the spirit soul in second chapter Bhagavad Gita. But unfortunately, this spirit soul, he is captured by the Maya energy, by the external energy of the Lord when he comes to the material world and takes up the false ego, false identification. Then he takes one miserable body after another miserable body. So, this is like quicksand. If you know, if somebody is trapped in the quicksand, in Indrajumna Maharaj was describing the other day, that one time in Amazon jungle he fell into quicksand. And the more you struggle to come out, the more you go inside this quicksand. So this material energy is like that. The spirit soul is struggling continuously. And he has a hope that he'll be able to enjoy somehow. He's suffering right now, but maybe in the future he'll be able to enjoy. So this desire, material desire, causes a quicksand kind of situation, and he falls into more and more difficult, troublesome situations from the mode of goodness to passion and from passion to ignorance. When the person falls into the mode of ignorance, he's like a lost person. It's a very unfortunate situation. If somebody is fumbling in the dark, pitch dark room, there's no light, there's no electricity, he's fumbling. And he may trip over something and fall and hurt himself. Anything can happen. So similarly, or if somebody is in a dark jungle, even more tragic things can happen. So this is the situation with the living entity. When he is trying to release himself, he gets into more trouble because he is captured by the Maya energy, material energy of the Lord. Gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. That Lord Krishna says this Maya energy is Devi Esha Gunamayi, is my energy, external energy. And nobody can surpass, it is insurmountable. No one can cross over on his own. So what should this trapped living entity should do? He has to ask for help from somebody who is already released, already free, liberated. If somebody is free and not inside the quicksand, then he can do something to take you out of the quicksand. That is what Maharaj was describing. He said that few people, they came to rescue me and they helped me to come out of this quicksand. I was almost going to be gone in just a few more seconds if they were late for a few more seconds or a minute or a couple of minutes, I would have been gone. So it's a very dire situation. People don't realize that how urgent the situation is in the material world. Because Krishna says in 7th chapter, text number 13, 3b gunamayai bhavi ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhi janati mamebhya paramavyam. The whole problem is because of mohitam. This spirit soul, the conditioned living entity, is mohitam. He is in illusion. He has a whole wrong concept. And under this wrong concept, he does not understand who is the Supreme. He says, mohitam nabhi janati. He doesn't understand. He doesn't realize. Mamebhya param. I am the Supreme. Param avyayam. And I can rescue him, I can do something about his problem. He doesn't know this. Why? Because Trivi Gunamayi, this Gunamayi, this three modes of material nature, the Maya energy is made of three modes, has captured him. And under this spell of the material energy, he is mohitam, he is an illusion. And under this illusion, Lord Krishna says in 7:27, Bhagavad Gita, Ichchadvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. Sarva bhutani sammoha sarge yanti parantapa. Everybody is born with this duality, in this ichcha and dvesha, under the desire and hatred, envy. That is a dvandva. That is the duality. And because of this dvandva, captured in this duality, sammoha, again, Krishna says, moha and sammoha is fully and completely in illusion. So, unless and until he is ready to give up this wrong concept that is in his mind, his problem cannot be solved. So in 7:28, he says, who can solve his own problem of getting into trouble again and again? Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam didavrata. Yesham tvantagatam papam. Those people whose papam is ended, their sinful reactions have ended. Punya karmanam, they have performed some activities. As a result of these good activities, now their sinful reactions are burnt. Yesham tvantagatam papam. Chananam punya. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. They can become nirmukta, free from dvandva and moha, duality, and from illusion. They can become free. Bhajante mam didavrata. And they start worshipping, serving Krishna with lot of love and devotion, performing pure devotional service. Bhajante mam didavrata. They have this didavrata, means I will only serve Krishna, nobody else. I will serve Krishna all the time with all my heart, with all my body, soul, speech, everything I have, I will engage in this service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Bhajante mam dridabhrata. So these are the people who can become free from this problematic material world. Now somebody may say, many people they say that this energy, Maya energy, and the internal energy, Maya is the external energy, and the internal energy that is in the spiritual world, they are the same. Are they the same? Now, in just a couple of days, there is the greatest day we are celebrating, Radha Ashtami, the birth appearance day of Srimati Radharani. So, if we get time, we'll discuss a little bit about that. The most auspicious time of the year. We just had the Lord Krishna's birthday appearance day celebration. And now, we're going to be celebrating Srimati Radharani. So, Srimati Radharani embodies the internal energy of the Lord. So the internal energy and the external energy, are they the same? No. There's the difference of day and night between the two. Parasya Shakti Vividayu. Lord Krishna has multifarious, very powerful energies. So these two are also energies of the Lord, but the difference is day and night. Srimati Radharani, or the internal energy of the Lord, is the energy that gives you unlimited joyfulness, blissfulness. Anandam, anandam buddhi vardhanam, ocean of happiness in your life. Happiness, that never-ending happiness. That is what Srimati Radharani, or the internal energy, gives you. And what the material energy or the Bahirang Shakti gives you, external energy punishes you with threefold miseries, with a trident made of threefold miseries. She punishes the conditioned soul who has come to this material world. So she is the shadow energy of the internal energy. She is not the real internal. She is not at all internal energy. She is separated. And Krishna says, "Binna prakriti astada, bhumi apurna lovayu khammano buddhi." Binna prakriti astada. This is my eightfold separated. She is separated from me. She is not with me. She is my shadow energy. So, this shadow energy or the external energy, Maya Shakti, is punishing people. Right now, there is a very big topic going on the news channel about we are here in one corner of America in United States, in Texas, right? So it's very nice, 72 degrees outside, very nice. Pleasing atmosphere. But if you go on the East Coast, there's a very big storm going on right now. And they are saying it's one of the biggest and most horrible storm that has started from yesterday. And they don't see any end point. They say that this is a peculiar kind of storm that has come, the hurricane that has come. What's the name of this hurricane? Florence. Florence has come from the ocean. And now it is, right now it is striking the land. I think it's about to strike, or it has in the Carolina region, North Carolina region and South Carolina region. They are affected. And millions of people have already, they're fleeing, they have fled from their homes and properties. The onshore properties, many of them, some of these towns near the ocean, they're already, the streets are submerged underwater. And they are saying that either already some places 10 feet of surge has happened, and some other places that will be happening soon. Coming, the ocean water coming like a 10-foot wall inside and striking your house. So 10 feet is almost like, you know, people's ceilings are usually in the houses 10 feet tall. So if you are in that house, imagine what could happen. It's a very dangerous situation. So the government has been trying for a few days now, because they saw it coming. So they said that nobody nearby the ocean should even think to stay in their home. Especially if you have only one-story building, don't stay in your building, because it could be very dangerous. When the wall of this water comes inside, you cannot stop it. You can put as many sandbags as you want around your house, but the water will come inside, or it may even uproot the whole house. And on top of it, some places are 15, 20 inches of rain already fell from in 24 hours. And they're saying it could go up to 40 inches of rain. That's a lot of water. They're saying 10 trillion gallons of water, rainwater, is going to come down from the sky. It's a very humongous storm. And this 10 trillion gallons of water is wreaking, is going to wreak more havoc. It has just started. And there is a place called New Bern in North Carolina. I went there one time when I was there. I have seen that place. It's not too far from the ocean. And there's about 100, 200 people are already trapped inside this. And the government has to figure it out how to take them out, because the roads are closed. Everything is underwater. It's a very dangerous situation. And this is just one place they were talking about, but there may be several places like that. And more is coming, because there is a non-stop rain and non-stop water coming from the ocean. and the rivers are getting filled up, the ocean is coming on land. So it's a horrible situation happening. So the people who are trapped in or have fled, all the hotels are booked up for miles and miles. If you go 100 miles, 200 miles, still there's no hotel room. They're charging $1,700 per day in a hotel room, if you want a hotel room. Who can afford it? Many people, they are living in their cars. They're spending their nights in the cars because they don't have that kind of money to spend for just one night. And this storm, nobody knows how long it, there's no electricity. Electricity is going away. More than 500,000 people don't have household, 500,000 houses don't have electricity now. There's no water, there's no toilet. Toilets are flooded. North Carolina and South Carolina, they have the biggest hog farms in the country. And this waste, the hog waste lagoons that they have. Now, because of this water rain, they are over flooded and they're mixing this, all this waste is, hog waste is mixing with the river waters and rivers are getting contaminated. They're closing down the nuclear plants because there's a danger. They can't. So I think they have closed down all the nuclear plants in the area. So there's no question of electricity for a long time now. At least it will take a week, 2 weeks, who knows how long. And because of this water pouring from the sky is, the ground is already wet and saturated. So, in this saturated situation, the trees are losing, they cannot grip inside the ground and they're falling over. So the trees are coming down. And there is so many complications are happening and they're seeing no end to it. So this is not a man-made misery, but this is called adidaivik. The material energy throws three kinds of miseries: adhyatmik, adidaivik, and adibhautik. So this is one of the three, adidaivik, that Mother Nature is throwing some misery at a group of people in that corner. And no matter how much you try, there's no... So these people who are trapped in this or are suffering because of this, if you ask them, is the life enjoyable? They'll say, this is the most miserable thing we have seen in our life. There's no question of any enjoyment. Our houses are destroyed, our properties are destroyed. When they go to the stores, the grocery stores are empty in that area. There's no grocery, no food available, no bread, no water. Drinking water is not there. You go to the gas stations have run out of gas. There's no gas available, petrol available. You go to the home repair shop, all the shelves are empty, the home repair shops are empty. So in this whole area, it's like a disaster area. And more disaster they're expecting because the rain is not going to stop. It's going to create more and more problems. So this is the punishing power. This is just a little sample of the punishing power of the material energy. When the earthquakes happen or the famines happen, or the flood happens. This is happening in the Carolinas, the North Carolina and South Carolina.
From the storm.
There's a lot of human misery. It's a very big tragedy happening right now. So
fires
are happening. The day before yesterday, the one transformer hit the motel. and the motel caught on fire, and then for that fire spread, and then the series of houses got burnt. So all of these things are happening, which are beyond imagination, how much loss of life and property this storm is bringing. And although the rescue efforts are there, the government is trying the best, but unless and until the rain stops and the water level goes down, you know, it's very difficult to even go to the places where there is a problem. So the punishing power of material energy is tremendous. And this is just one little example. And it reminds me of the Govardhan Leela pastime of Lord Krishna. You know, when Lord Krishna, he stopped the worship of Indra, then Indra becoming angry, and he sent his Samvartaka clouds, and there was devastation in the land of Raja, and everything was under water. So that time, the residents of Vrindavan, what did they do? They all went to Krishna, and with their cows and animals, Krishna took them all to the higher ground at Govardhan, and he lifted the hill Govardhan and gave shelter to all the residents, thousands and millions of people he gave, and the animals, he gave them shelter for 7 days and seven nights, protected them. So Krishna says that I always protect my devotees. No matter what, I will always protect my devotee. So these are some of the material miseries, example of material miseries, and the dualities of life. And in order to make the solution, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master, Tadviddhi Pranipatena Pariprasena Seva. One must humbly approach the spiritual master, spiritual guide, who is an intimate associate of Lord Krishna, who understands and serves Krishna 24 hours a day, who is in contact with Lord Krishna 24 hours a day, who is chanting Hare Krishna, the pure holy name. So this kind of spiritual master can guide the person out of this miserable situation of birth and death. Otherwise, the conditioned living entity, the embodied spirit soul, he does not have much solution at hand. So human life being the most valuable life out of all the species, one has to immediately try to find the solution, and for that he must immediately search out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter at his lotus feet, learn the truth. Who am I? What is my real identity? Why I am suffering these miseries of life? What is the solution? How I can come out of this miserable situation? And who is Krishna? How he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How can I become connected to Krishna, the Supreme? So these kind of questions he can ask the spiritual master after serving him, making him happy, and by the pleasure and satisfaction, happiness of spiritual master, one can solve the problems, because he can learn now the technique how to also become happy, how to become free from the material miseries. Not only how to become free from material, but also how to be completely connected to the supreme source of all the happiness, supreme source of all the knowledge, supreme source of eternality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to become intimately connected to Lord Krishna and serve Him, perform loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality Krishna. So that is the benediction. That is the reason why Krishna comes to this material world, appears. We had the appearance day of Lord Krishna. So He wants that the suffering souls in the material world get the release. They don't have to suffer unlimited pains in this material world. So Krishna comes Himself and He also sends His intimate associates. So that is why we have the Guru Parampara coming from Krishna. And specifically in this day and age, Kali Yuga, as you know, full of miseries, full of troubles. We are just witnessing one big trouble going on the East Coast, the storm. But the suffering is always there, some small or big suffering is always there. And there is no telling that who will be next in the line for suffering or some big problem in life. There is no guarantee. So therefore, one should very quickly take advantage of this facility in Kali Yuga, Kaler Doshni Derajan. There is going to be a lot of miseries in Kali Yuga, that's guaranteed. So, how you solve the problem? So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna came back as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. Even though He is Radha Krishna's combined form, He is saying that I am not Krishna, I am not Radharani, I am just a devotee of Krishna. I am trying to be a nice devotee. That's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying. He wanted, there are specific reasons why Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had his internal reasons because he saw that the gopis and Radharani, they are enjoying more than himself. They are tasting the mellows of devotional service. And he was wondering how it is possible that these people, I am the Supreme, and how these people can enjoy more than me. What is the secret? I want to know. So for that reason also he took the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the process, we got the benefit because he delivers everyone, whoever comes in contact with him. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they have written very wonderful verses about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, why He comes, etc. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you are familiar with Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, then there is the description. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Alhadini Shakti Rasmat. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined love personified of Radha and Krishna. And Alhadini Shakti, that is Srimati Radharani. So Lord Krishna, He has taken up the mood of Srimati Radharani. There is a verse that I'm looking for in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, text number 4, I believe. You know how that starts? Text number 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just slipping my mind right now. But it's describing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his advent, why He is coming to the material world. How we can benefit from his advent. So if you take advantage of Lord Chaitanya, and how you take advantage of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent in this material world. Because some people, they say that I can become devotee of Krishna, I can become devotee of Radharani. No problem. I don't need Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for that. I don't need any guru for that. I can become devotee. So is it possible? So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, no, it is not possible. Srila Prabhupada also says, it's not possible. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, not possible. Because Krishna, he comes only once in the day of Brahma, so after billions of years, one time he appears in this material world, in this universe. And it's a very rare thing. So one can very easily miss the opportunity, first of all. And second, he is not at all available. Like if you want to see the most important person of America, whoever you may think, a big industrialist, a big scientist, or some political leader or president, it's not that easy to even get 5 minutes of his time. It's very difficult to find him, first of all, and to make him agree to see you. So what to speak of, Krishna is the owner of all the whole material world, spiritual world, everything, all the people, all the incarnations, everything, the demigods, the demons, the animals, the humans, everybody is created by Krishna, maintained by Krishna. How are you going to make him agree to see you? On your own strength? Is it possible? No. You have to go properly, scientifically. And that proper scientific method is taught by the bona fide spiritual master, the Guru Parampara. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda. By Lord Nityananda's mercy, one gets the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his psychology, his mentality, his technique of chanting Hare Krishna, how he is teaching how to chant Hare Krishna, all these things, when you learn from the spiritual master, from Guru Parampara and from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there is a hope that you can understand Radha and Krishna. Because Prabhupada says that just as Lord Krishna is completely transcendental, so similarly Radharani is completely transcendental personality. Sachidananda Vigraha. They don't have any material tinge. The material energy cannot touch them. They are the spiritual personalities. Janma karma chame divyam, Krishna says, my birth and activities are divyam, divine. Similarly, Radharani's birth and activities are divine. Radharani was born in a small town on the bank of river Jamuna in Raja called Rawal. King Vrishabhanu, there are two versions actually, according to the Puranas. Bhagavatam does not describe too much about Radharani. Bhagavatam describes the gopis as the most wonderful, the best devotees of Lord Krishna. But Anya Aradhita, Anaya Aradhita, there is one gopi, Shukdeva Goswami says in the 10th canto, who is the best of all the gopis, and she knew how to worship, how to serve Krishna the best way. That's all he describes about Srimati Radharani. He doesn't say, so Aradhita, he's describing Radharani as Aradhita, that Krishna is worshipped by this gopi. the best. But Brahmavaivarta Purana and other Puranas describe about the glories and about appearance of Radharani. So according to one version, she was found by King Vrishabhanu in a field. And from the field, little baby girl, he picked her up and then brought to home and showed to his wife, Kirtida Sundari. He was the king. So they became very happy. So that is one version. And another is that Lord Brahma personally came, and on a golden lotus in River Jamuna, he delivered the baby Radharani. There is also another version also, but these are the two. So there King Vrishabhanu had gone to River Jamuna to take bath, and he found this baby in the golden lotus coming on stream. So he picked up the baby girl and brought home. They were very happy, but then after a while they realized that there was a problem. What was the problem? That this baby girl was blind. She could not open her eyes. Her eyes remained closed. So they were worried about it. So that is describing the first meeting. When was the first meeting between Radha and Krishna? Krishna was a small little boy, 2-year-old boy that time, and he was very anxious to see Radharani, because Krishna has actually, he would have no interest in the material world if Radharani did not agree to come to the material world. Krishna is supremely attached to Srimati Radharani, and Radharani is attached to Krishna. So, as a baby, the mother Yashoda takes the baby Krishna to see her friend Kirtida Sundari in the village town of Rawal. So, when they were talking, the two ladies, that time, baby Krishna goes in the next room, bedroom, where Radharani was in the cradle. And that time Kirtida Sundari was describing Mother Yashoda that I have this beautiful girl, but the problem is that she's not opening her eyes, she's blind, and we are suffering because. So that time little baby Krishna went to the cradle of Radharani, and he looked at baby Radharani, little infant girl. And immediately, Radharani opened her eyes and looked at Krishna. So we can understand that Radharani is not interested in anything in this material world. She has no interest whatsoever. Her only interest is to see Krishna and serve Krishna. So she is the love personified. She is the Krishna prema personification. So that was the first meeting of Radha and Krishna. And then there are many, many super excellent pastimes of the divine couple that are described in our scriptures. Specifically, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has a lot of wonderful pastimes. Through the eyes of the great devotees and through the eyes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can try to understand Srimati Radharani. So Prabhupada, he is warning the devotees that unless and until you become self-realized, unless and until you become a pure devotee, you can never understand the character of Radharani. Not possible. So he says this is the prerequisite. So for that he recommends, Prabhupada recommends that first we must learn how to chant Hare Krishna purely. And for that, the bona fide spiritual master, he teaches the disciple how to chant Hare Krishna purely. Then he can very easily understand the secret of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings, the secret of Radha and Krishna. So that is little bit about the appearance of Srimati Radharani. We'll have a lot of discussion in the coming days about the appearance of Radha Ashtami, appearance day of Srimati Radharani, because it's the most auspicious time for the devotees. Only by the blessings of Srimati Radharani there is a hope that we can get the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So I will end here. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to, if there is a microphone or something. What is this happening? Okay. Is there the microphone? Or you can take this one. So, in today's verse, we are learning what Lord Krishna is describing, is that what are the dualities of life in the conditioned life, in the material world, and how one can become free from these dualities or from the suffering of the material world. Because the suffering is everywhere. Some places have more suffering, different places, different degrees of suffering is there in the material world that offers the punishment from the material energy. And to become free, one must learn how to take shelter of the spiritual energy. That spiritual energy is Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. It's a difficult topic. We're all struggling with these problems and attachments. So my question has to do with, you talked about coming to the stage of where one only loves Krishna when one is focused on Krishna 100%. In the Vanashram system, it seems to, you know, guide the practitioner to that, you know, level. So, but my question has to do of what do you do in the meantime?
Meantime?
Yeah, in the meantime. In other words, you know, a person, it's very easy to think, oh my God, you know, I'm chanting, and I'm still suffering with shoka, harsha, bhaya, krodha. I'm still so miserable. My relationships are so dissatisfying. I'm just killing myself working. And you start to think that maybe this process is really not working for me.
So this is the question which many people have this in their mind. It's a valid question, and it deals with Varnashram, that there are certain things in Varnashram, certain duties are given to us, and we are supposed to follow according to our Varnashram, our professional career, our proclivities, our attitude, our aptitude, what we like to do in life. So accordingly, we decide about Varnashram, and we perform our duties. Yeah, that should be done. But then what about solving the problem of life permanently? And for that, chanting Hare Krishna. But Hare Krishna chanting, I'm not getting any result. I've been chanting for years and years. Nothing is happening. So what should be done? So the thing is that the chanting alone does not solve the problem in most cases. Even though chanting is the solution, chanting Hare Krishna is the solution, but it will not solve the problem. Because learning the technique of how to chant Hare Krishna, that is where it's in the details. And that you can only learn from the pure devotees, from the spiritual master and from the pure devotees. So therefore, before even chanting, you must keep on serving the pure devotees, hear from the pure devotees. That should be the priority. In the beginning, the more emphasis is on service, serving the deities, serving the devotees, serving the pure devotees, serving the sadhus. All of these things, then gradually you will develop. And then at the same time, you can continue chanting. Yes, 16 rounds is not a big deal. It's only 2 hours out of 24 hours. So even if you are not getting any juice out of chanting per se, still you should not give up, because 16 rounds, 2 hours. You still have 22 more hours to do whatever you want to do. So, but the focus should be in the beginning. It's recommended that your focus should be on serving the pure devotees. Satam prasangan mama virya sambhido. Everywhere in Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everywhere, this is the focus. That you must serve the pure devotees and have the pure devotee association as much as possible, and avoid the non-devotee or the bad association. Because the bad association can ruin your life, ruin your progress. And don't, when you are in the company of pure devotees, don't try to see what they're doing wrong. That's not the idea, because that will ruin your life too. When you are in the company of pure devotees, there were some people, some devotees of, when they were very close to Prabhupada, instead of seeing the good things, they started seeing bad things in Prabhupada. And in their minds, bad ideas started coming. And they had horrible results. Because when you try to see some faults in a Mahabhagavat devotee, you are inviting nothing but trouble in your life. So it's recommended that when you go in front of the pure devotee, when you go in front of the deity, don't try to find faults with the deity or with the devotees. Take advantage of their association, how I can lovingly serve these great devotees or the deity of the Lord. Because the deity form of the Lord and the pure devotee, they are none different, they are the same. They give the same benediction. But you have to learn the technique, the secret, how to take advantage of the association of the pure devotees. So the more and more you become expert in serving the pure devotees, then Vasudev Katha Ruchi, and serve Srimad Bhagavatam every day, serving Bhagavatam. How I can make the devotees happy, how I can make my spiritual master happy, by service. So serving the Bhagavatam, serving the devotees, it's a lifelong, you know, one lifetime is not a long time. It goes very fast. I'm already 70 and I'm like thinking like, my goodness, it just went on so swiftly. The time is passing by. And then when you get old, then there is so many restrictions because of your old age. So it is very important to that what is recommended here in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that service of the great devotees and service even ordinary devotees, and not to see any faults. What you speak of devotees, even non-devotees, not to find any faults or criticize them. Just stay away completely. Just close that chapter of criticizing. Because it's not going to help you in any way whatsoever. So why get into it that? Just, you know, ignore the mind. The mind will try to find some excuse. Mind wants to, the material mind wants to gossip, wants to criticize, wants to find fault with somebody to prove that I am a better person. But we are not better person at all. I am not a better person. I'm a very low class person because I've decided to take birth in Kali Yuga and doing horrible things or associating with horrible people, etc. So outside of devotional service, I have a very bad record. Just in this lifetime, what to speak of many lifetimes, I may have created havocs for myself. So I should not try to prove myself better by criticizing somebody. Instead, I should think that I have gotten this opportunity now to improve, so let me take full advantage to improve myself by serving the pure devotees, by serving Srimad Bhagavatam. Then I can develop taste for the holy name. And even if I don't develop taste for holy name right away, If I have full faith in the spiritual master, full faith in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, then I just worship the holy name, I worship the devotees who are serving the holy name, and just keep on chanting, and it gives results. It's a gradual process. One lifetime is not a lot. Bahunam janmanam ante. It takes many, many lifetimes even to come to this stage to become a devotee. What to speak of? We're very close to the final destination, and we shouldn't think that it's very difficult. It is not at all difficult. The most of the difficult situations we have already surpassed. Because the way the people are suffering, it's unimaginable. The people outside are suffering horrible. And they have no solution. We have the solution, we just have to go with a lot of patience. Rupa Goswami says, utsan nishchaya dharya, enthusiasm, determination and patience. And take the proper guidance and follow it up scientifically. It's a scientific process. You cannot mix it up. You cannot mix the bad and the good and think that everything will be good. No. You avoid the bad and only take the good. All right?
Oh, that's so nice. I don't know if you have to leave now because it's 9 o'clock already, but I wanted to say that, when we talk about associating with pure devotees, Prabhupada, whenever I listen to Prabhupada's lectures, I feel great. But the thing that is what I see, okay, is that when I don't have, let me just speak in a more general term. Prabhupada was able to inspire so many people to sacrifice. Like when you listen to Prabhupada, he's just talking about...
We cannot compare everybody to Prabhupada. See, Prabhupada is unique. Prabhupada is the only one Prabhupada. Out of millions and billions of people.
Okay, I'm not trying to compare. I'm not trying to compare, but here's my question. My question is that Prabhupada only talks about absolute surrender. He doesn't talk about mixed devotional service. He doesn't talk about what you're going to do for a living. None of that. You can read all 10 cantos. You don't find any of that being given. All you find is absolute surrender.
Yes.
Okay, so my question is that Prabhupada, he showed that, and when the devotees were with Prabhupada, they could make that sacrifice. They were so inspired. But without Prabhupada's personal association, as you can see, almost nobody even comes to the temple.
No, that is an excuse. See, that is not a valid argument.
That's my question. See, my question is that, you talk about the importance of pure devotional service association.
Prabhupada, you are right. Prabhupada was in urgency to make the whole world Krishna conscious because he saw people are suffering. There's unlimited, unending suffering cycle going on in the material world for the living entity. So he was feeling utmost compassion, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was feeling so much compassion, and he traveled all over India, and he delivered everybody by chanting the holy names. Mm-hmm. So similarly, Prabhupada came here out of utmost compassion, and also he showed the path that in order to fulfill the desire of his Guru Maharaj, fulfill the mission of his Guru Maharaj. He said, I came to America to fulfill the mission of my Guru Maharaj. I'm not capable of doing anything, but because my Guru Maharaj ordered, so I came. And he prayed to Krishna, and Krishna helped him. So Prabhupada, he achieved what nobody could achieve. And then he created a Sankirtan army and to spread the holy name all over the world, first in America, then other countries everywhere. So Prabhupada, he did that, but he also gave the whole plan, the whole, everything he gave. He said, even when after I go, you will be able to do it because I am putting the empowerment in my books, in my instructions. So Prabhupada is present in his books and in his instructions. And he is also present in the form of the bona fide spiritual masters in our movement. So, and the sadhus and the pure devotees. So it does not matter if the temple room is empty or filled up. You know, at different times the temple room may be filled up with devotees. We were in Houston, remember, and there the temple room was filled up. And there were roaring kirtans and there was all the festivities and everything. And so occasionally you will see temple rooms filled up with wonderful devotees jumping and dancing in ecstasy. And occasionally it will be empty also. But the devotees are now, in Prabhupada's time, there were maybe 10,000 or 50,000 devotees. Now there are millions of devotees in the world. And the number is increasing every day. You have to look at the big picture, and you cannot say, think that I'm the center of the universe, or I'm the center of Texas, or I'm the center of Dallas, and there should be 100 devotees sitting here because I'm giving class. Why there's nobody here? We shouldn't think like that. We're not the center. Center is Krishna, and we are just simply, you know, humble servants of Prabhupada and the devotees. So we shouldn't think the temple is empty. That means there are many devotees even listening on radio and on internet, etc. So always it is available. And Prabhupada's, there is so much material about Prabhupada's lectures and books, and you know the lecture that he gave on Radha Ashtami, the class he gave on Janmashtami. Any topic you will find the reference of Prabhupada. And then after that there are wonderful classes and lectures of all the wonderful great devotees, the gurus in ISKCON, sannyasis, devotees, everybody. So much material that has never been available in history of mankind. But you know, Thakur had to, just to get one copy of Bhagavatam, he had to struggle so hard. Even one copy of Bhagavatam was not available till his time. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had to travel, you know, barefoot, walking all over in those rough roads all over India to get a copy of one book, one like Brahma Samhita or some, you know, Purana. He walked hundreds of miles. So you can imagine how much austerities they were taking just to get one book. And now there are 100 books, you know, of Prabhupada and the gurus available. You know, you can order it on Amazon or this or that, and you know, they will put it at your doorstep in a couple of days. So, I mean, what more can you ask? The technology has made it so easy for us to perform pure devotional service. There's no excuse. It's, everything is available so easily. It's just we are spoiled. That's all. We're just spoiled. We don't, you know, otherwise they took so much austerity. I mean, when we read about the austerities that the Guru Parampara, the austerity Prabhupada took and the gurus, all this, you know, and even today, all these gurus, they're traveling, they're taking so much austerity. So we should not think that now the devotional service is difficult. No, it's easier. We just have to be determined with willpower. We have to just increase our willpower, our determination, and our desire that somehow, in spite of all the personal problems or inconveniences or all obstacles, aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva sevaya, that I will surpass all these insurmountable obstacles by taking full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda. This is the path chalked out for the devotee. We shouldn't be discouraged at all. Oh, nobody's there. What can I do? What is the use of giving this class? Nobody's even there to listen to me. Nobody wants to, nobody cares about me in this world. Nobody listens to me. We shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't think at all in negative way. We should be fully positive. Uh-huh. We are just small, insignificant little spirit souls. You know, whatever little service we can do, we should be happy. That's all. That's my take. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Vishwamarpu ki jai. Gopurani.
I can't do anything anyway. I have no qualifications.